good to be here. Ray, thank you for the kind words, man. It's super encouraging. And my theme scripture for the year has been, he must become greater, I must become less. No, not really, but if you want to lose weight and make it spiritual, that might be a good passage. I think John meant something else when he said that, although he had a good diet, bugs and whatever he ate. But it's great to be here. I hope you guys had a great service last week, whether you were here or up in Providence at Thrive. That was an amazing time. You know, this has been an inspiring week. It's been awesome to see three new people writing their name on the roll, right? Three new people making Jesus Lord. And, you know, I got to be up at Thrive, and that was an amazing time of inspiration and fellowship and encouragement. You know, we got to have a blast up there. Chelsea and I brought the kids with us, and so between Thrive and ICMC, which was the week before, 2 weeks before, we drove to both of those, and so with our kids, that was a collective over 30 hours in the car with them. And so that was a crazy time together, and you know, my son Bradley, on the way home from Providence last weekend, he had the blanket over him, and for a while, he just pulled it up over his head. And it was like, man, I'm feeling you, bro. I know how you feel. We've been in the car over 30 hours. It's time to get home and stop driving places. But it's been really inspiring the month of July to be together as a family, going to ICMC to Thrive. It's been crazy, but a lot of fun and a lot of inspiration. And so you can open up your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Man, didn't Keith do a great job with communion today? You know, Jordan Jones texted me and said, bro, you don't even need to preach. Keith just did a great sermon. And he did. Keith did amazing. But I'm going to do my sermon anyway. And so my sermon this morning is titled, Grow in Godly Conviction. Grow in Godly Conviction. If you want to stay faithful and grow for the rest of your life, then we need deep, God-based convictions. And so my hope for you this morning is to leave here equipped and more determined than ever to build deep, godly convictions in your walk with God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. You guys with me? We're reading out of 1 Thessalonians because Paul planted this church, as he wrote this letter back to them, one of the things that they were lifted up for was that their Christianity was founded on deep convictions. So we're going to read chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. It says, for we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And you know, so this passage starts off here by saying, look, here's how we know that God chose you. We know that God chose you because your Christianity was founded on deep conviction. This is how we know that you have a solid foundation, is because your Christianity came to you from deep conviction. Deep conviction. That's what God is looking for in us. You know, it says here that by deep conviction, we could become a model for others in our Christianity. It says that by deep conviction, we can be faithful even in the midst of severe suffering. Deep conviction is so important. It's essential for us to make it as disciples. And so what is conviction? Conviction is unrelenting, unwavering belief, standard, principle. It's firmly held belief or standard, something that you hold to and that you're not shaken in. Something you believe that way, but also that you live by in that way. That's what conviction is. And God is calling us to have conviction. Do you have conviction in your Christianity? You know, conviction that is not half-hearted. One foot in, one foot out, discipleship, but rather wholehearted. Determined to please God, doesn't get easily shaken or thrown off course. That's the kind of conviction we need in our Christianity. You know, in Luke 14, Jesus talks about our discipleship. And he says that it's not just about becoming a disciple, but finishing as a disciple. And not just hanging in there, but growing and building the tower. You know, so we've got to think in our discipleship that I've got to make it for the long haul. And so we need to last for maybe 10 more, 20 more, 30, 40, maybe even 60 more years in the faith. And not just hang in there, but grow and continue to build and to do well in our walk with God. And I really believe that what makes the difference is deep conviction of whether you're going to stay and keep growing along the way. And so my focus this morning is to have godly convictions. And I believe that godly convictions are convictions that are pleasing to God. You know, convictions that please God are godly convictions. And so I have 2 points this morning on convictions that are pleasing to God or godly convictions. And those are that we need convictions based on his word and convictions based on his righteousness. Convictions based on his word and based on his righteousness are convictions that are pleasing to God and that will help us to last and to grow and thrive as disciples. So first we're going to talk about convictions based on his word, right? And so what's great about the drive to build godly convictions is we don't have to guess what God wants from us. We don't have to guess, well, God, what pleases you? I'll just try this. He's given us his word to tell us what pleases him, to tell us what, so to speak, his orders are for us. You know, how many of you, when you go out to a restaurant, are upset when you order something and you don't get your order right? Right? I mean, it's frustrating. It's like, this is what I wanted, this is what I paid for, and it's not what I got, right? And so when we go to a restaurant, we give them our order, and then that's what we're expecting because that's what's going to please us, right? That's what I was in the mood for. That's what I paid for. That's what will please me. And so, you know, I am not a picky person with food. I basically just love food across the board. And so I'm not the type of person to frequently send things back or I'll get it and I'm like, I'm just going to eat this, you know, because it looks good or I'll deal with it or whatever. But one of the few things I really don't like is Swiss cheese. And so that's just one of the few things. And so I remember a few years ago going out with some of the guys to this restaurant in Manhattan called Burger, B-R-G-R, Burger. And I hope they're listening. And so, you know, I go up to the counter and I order the burger with the toppings I want on it and everything. And the one that I ordered had Swiss cheese. And I said, let me sub Swiss cheese for whatever else, cheddar or something. And so we all go to our seat and they bring everybody their food and everybody gets their burgers and fries. And I'm just sitting there for like 5 minutes, nothing. Just waiting. I'm like, all right. And I'm trying to enjoy the conversation, but my stress is just building of like, where is my food? And so, you know, they notice that I'm not getting my food, so they hand me some pity fries. Hey, you could have some of these while you're waiting. And so finally I get up and I'm like, hey, I still haven't got my food. It's been 10 minutes or whatever. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. We'll bring it out to you. So another 5 minutes or so goes by and they bring it out and it's just coated in melted Swiss cheese. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, I already waited. This is not what I wanted. And I'm like, I'm just going to go back up and tell them I wanted something different. So I go back up. By now, everybody else is done with their food. I'm like, hey, you know, I already waited for this and then it's the wrong cheese. Can I have the right cheese? And so they're like, oh my gosh, we're so sorry. Here's some fries. So it's, I was like, I'll take them. And so they you know, say, we'll bring out the right burger for you. So I go back, sit down. At this time, everybody's done eating. And I'm still just waiting. And finally, they bring it out, the right cheese. I'm like, thank God. I pick it up, and there's a couple hairs coming off of it. And I was just like, are you kidding me? So I brought it back up again. This time, I ended up getting it for free. They brought out the right one finally. It's like 45 minutes later, 3 burgers later, lots of pity fries later. And it was not what I had ordered to begin with and thankfully didn't have to pay for. But right, we feel that way about things because it's like, man, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I ordered. This isn't what I was asking for. This is not pleasing to me, right? And so what's great about God is he makes it very clear what his orders are, right? He's like, look, here's what I'm looking for. Here's what I want from you. Here's what will please me in my relationship with you. And we don't want to mess it up. We don't want to go, God, I see you asked for this, but I'm going to put a different kind of cheese on there. Right? Or we're gonna give it to you, but with some hair on it. Right? We want to say, God, this is what you ordered. We want to please you. Here's what you've asked for. That's what we want our convictions to be, solid, real, lasting conviction that pleases God comes from His Word. It's based on His Word. Think about the wise and foolish builder in Matthew chapter 7. One lasts, the other doesn't. The difference is one had strong convictions based on the scriptures, believing and obeying them, and the other had shallow convictions. They heard it, but they didn't follow it. Right? There's sand convictions and there's solid convictions. We want solid convictions that are based on His Word. Right? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 to 13. Right? The Thessalonians had solid convictions because they based their convictions off of the Word of God. Verse 10 to 13. Sorry, of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 10 to 13. It says, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Deep conviction comes from a foundation on the word of God as the word of God. Right? It's saying that, look, when you heard the word preached, you didn't just say, "Oh, this is Paul speaking," or whoever. This is the word of God. And so we need to really have a view of the Bible that this really is words from God. And if we really believe, no, these are God's word, the scriptures are God's words, then we're going to elevate them to their proper status and influence and authority in our lives. That if we believe the scriptures are the word of God, then we'll also believe that the scriptures are always right, always best, always true, always what we should do, always what we should aim for, always what God wants, and always the ultimate authority for what's right and what we're going to do with our life. The Word of God needs to be viewed as the Word of God. And so if we believe that, then we should believe that whatever the Bible says, that's my conviction, that's my belief, that's my standard for how I'm going to live. And yet there's a lot of other things vying for our influence instead of the Word of God to base our convictions off of. Right? We don't want culture to be what our convictions are based off of. Right? What's going on in the world, we don't want that to be what our convictions are based off of. We don't want our opinion to be what our convictions are based off. Well, I think it's fine. Right? No, we want the Word of God. We don't want our feelings to be what our convictions are based off of. This is what I feel is right or feel like doing. We don't want our feelings to be what our convictions are based off of. We don't want other people's lifestyle or beliefs to be what our convictions are based off of. Well, this is what they're doing. People in the church or out of the church, right? We don't want other people's lifestyle to be the basis of our conviction. Obviously, we don't want the world or popular opinion, right? We don't want anything except for the Word of God to be the foundation for our convictions. All of these things, culture, opinion, all of these things are sand foundations, sand convictions. And the thing about them is at different times, some of these things might be right and some of them might be wrong. And that's the thing with it is it's up and down. It's left and right. It's ever changing. And so at some point, maybe our opinion is lined up with what's right. Maybe somebody else's view is lined up with what's right, or maybe it's wrong. And so there can be good that can come from these other influences, but we need to make sure that our ultimate foundation is the Word of God. Because that's the only sure, solid foundation, right? Because as culture changes in the world or from one ministry or one region of the church to another, our convictions need to stay based on the Word of God because the Word of God never changes, unlike these other things. And so whatever the area is that you're talking about, whether it be purity or money or time management or decision-making or evangelism or one another relationships or discipling, whatever the area is, your conviction on that topic, what you believe and what you practice about that thing should be based first and foremost and solely on what does the Bible have to say about it. And so you should go to the scriptures for your conviction, not anywhere or something else. Doing that takes Bible study. It's really hard to base your convictions off the Word of God if you don't know the Word of God. You know, and so we've got to get in our Bible. You've got to have regular time in the Word of God because it's so incredibly important. It might be the difference, it will be the difference of whether your foundation is on sand or on solid rock, right? Your time in the Word is your conviction building time. And that's how we need to view it. Now, I really want you to think about how is your personal time in the Bible going? Are you getting in the Bible every day? You know, you can't make light of this like, oh, it's all right if I'm just reading the Bible a few times a week or when other people mention it or, you know, something that pops up on the app quickly. We got to build the foundation, build our convictions, and this needs to be a deliberate and intentional time in our week, right? And if we make light of it, I really think that the cracks will start to show and over time it will be revealed. And that'll keep us from growing, keep us from lasting. We've got to be in the Bible, reading scripture, writing scripture on our heart and on our mind, memorizing verses, talking to each other about the Bible, right? Having your daily time in the Word, but then outside of that even, seeking advice from others. What have you learned about this topic? What scriptures help you? And really learning and reading and trying to really get into the Bible to build your convictions. And that way you have a conviction, which really should be your first conviction, is that all of my convictions come from the Word of God. And so I'm going to live my life deferring to the Word. What does the Bible say about this? What does God say about this? That's what I'm going to do. And so this morning, where do your convictions come from and stand on? Are they on sand or on solid ground? Are your convictions built on something else or on the Word of God? And I want to encourage you and myself, let's build convictions based on the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Convictions based on the Word of God are going to help you to be your best for God, to be righteous in your walk with God, and to please Him in that relationship because this is what He's ordered, this is what He's asked for, and this is what's most going to please Him. Amen? Convictions that are godly are first based on His Word. And secondly, we want convictions based on His righteousness. And so as disciples, what is our goal? As disciples, our goal is to live lives worthy of pleasing God. To live lives worthy of glorifying God. Right? That's what we read earlier. It's like, let's live lives that are worthy and glorifying and pleasing to God. Right? Paul said that you became imitators of us. And what he said is we set you the example by being what? What did they imitate? Paul says they were holy, righteous, blameless. And that's what we should be imitating as well. Our convictions on how we live and what we do need to be about pleasing God. What's right to God? What's righteous to God? Right? Convictions based off of God's righteousness, not what we think is righteous. Convictions based on His righteousness, that's what we should be aiming for. Does that make sense? So our righteousness, our convictions for righteousness should be based off of what does God say is righteous, not what do we feel is righteous. So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For we know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." You know, there's a lot of great stuff and challenging stuff said here. You know, Paul's telling us, hey, live in a way that pleases God. And you are doing this, but do it more and more. He says that God's will, what God wants, is for you to be sanctified. That means set apart, holy, consecrated for Him. He says that we should control our body in a way that is holy and honorable, in a way that is worthy of praise and of honor and to be lifted up. This is an example. This is a model. This is how you should live if you want to know what it looks like to please God. And he says, look, if you're not living this way, if this isn't how you're aiming to live, you're not going against people, you're rejecting the Spirit that is inside of you. And we see from that it's about what the Spirit wants. It's about what's righteous to the Spirit, not about what we feel okay with or what others think. It's about what does God approve of, what is pleasing to Him. You know, I remember being a young Christian and battling this whole, you know, blurry line there could be with some things of, is this right, is this not right? And we could face battles like that sometimes, right? And lines can be blurry, and what do we do about that? And I remember, you know, I had a huge collection of music, and a lot of it was illegally downloaded. And so I became a disciple, and then there's this battle of, I'm talking about like 30 or 40 gigs of music, right? This is a lot of music. And so I get baptized, and I'm like, all right, I will no longer download music illegally, but what do I do about all of it that I already did, right? Do I keep it because I downloaded it illegally before, or do I get rid of it because, you know, and so you're wrestling with that. And so I decided, all right, I'm going to delete it. And so I go folder by folder, deleting everything that I illegally downloaded. And I remember coming across some albums that were some of my favorites and being like, I'll come back to that one. And just going back down through the list. And then so I delete a ton of it except my favorites. And then I go back to it a few weeks later or whatever, and I'm like, Rob, come on. That's not about you, God. That's about you. Delete those too, right? And so I go back and I delete those. And so it's gone. And then I start to miss the music and then miss listening to it. And I can't afford to buy it. And so I remember starting to Google a lot, like, is this illegal? What, you know, and I'm like, is there a way to download it that's not illegal? And then I started to see, well, if you download from Blogspots, it's a little sketchy because it's a little more illegal on the uploader than the downloader. And so they shouldn't put it up there for people like me to take. And so it's on them, not me, right? This is them putting something out there, not me stealing. And so I remember going on the computer at CCM, and I spent 3 or 4 hours re-downloading a ton of the music that I had previously deleted. And so half of my day or whatever, downloading all this. And then I go back home to the brother's apartment. I sit down at my computer. I copy and paste all of it from the hard drive. And then I'm like, Rob, what are you doing? You know this is wrong. If this was the one thing that kept you out of heaven, is this worth it? And I was like, and I deleted all of it and was like, you just wasted half of your day over something that you knew was wrong and you tried to convince yourself was gray anyway, right? And so this was a huge battle. And now I've gone back and legally purchased those favorite albums over the last 8 years. And you don't even need to clap for that. That was just me doing the right thing. And so, you know, that was the battle, is what is righteous to God, not to me or to the world, right? And so we want to live our lives, our Christianity, not of what might be okay, but what is most pleasing to God. What do we want to risk more here? That this is or isn't wrong, or this is or isn't hurting God? Right? We need a conviction about our personal righteousness to be based on what is most holy, righteous, blameless, and pleasing to God, and to do that more and more, rather than, as time goes on, maybe start to shrug our shoulders more and more about if something's right or wrong. Right? So what is your standard, your target, your righteousness based on? Is it based off of what's most pleasing to God, or what do I feel okay with? You know, some red flags that could help you pick up on that. Maybe sometimes you might hear or say things like, well, that's not my conviction, or that doesn't bother me. You know, the thing is, we aren't looking for as Christians what my conviction is. We're looking for what's Jesus's conviction. So it's not, well, that's not my conviction. Well, what's Jesus's conviction? Right? We're not looking for, well, that doesn't bother me. You know, there is a thing as callousing your conscience. And Paul says, my conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. You might not feel bad about that, but that might actually be because you're not feeling the right way about it, right? And so we shouldn't be thinking, this doesn't bother me. We should be thinking, does this bother the Spirit? Does this bother God? You know, there might be some things that you're called to do or need to do, and maybe you're prevented from doing them because you're viewing it too much as church culture rather than Christian conviction, right? And we don't want to not do things because we view it as church culture. We want to do things because it's Christian conviction, right? Culture in the church can be a great thing and should be a great thing. Church culture should be and can be based on Bible conviction. And that's the type of culture we want to build, but conviction shouldn't be built off of the culture. Culture built off conviction of the Bible, not vice versa. But here's what can happen if your convictions are based on culture, is when the culture is removed, you lose the conviction as well. And so maybe the church changes some of its culture about evangelism. Maybe you're not being asked about evangelism. So have you stopped evangelizing? You know, was the conviction based off the culture or off the Bible? What does the Bible say to do about it? You know, maybe there's not as structured discipling set up in a ministry you're in as there once was. But was your conviction about having people in your life to help you and getting advice and getting input, was that based off church culture? Or is your conviction on that based off the Bible says to live that way? And so when people stop having evangelism, quiet times, discipling, maybe because church culture has changed, then you got to go, well, what was my foundation built on in this area? And I want to challenge you to go back to the Bible and say, does the Bible call me to read the Bible every day? Does the Bible call me to share my faith daily? Does the Bible call me to have one another relationships where I get advice, trained, instructed, encouraged, admonished, and so on? If yes, then you should be doing that, regardless of it's in the culture of the ministry you're in or not. You know, we got to look at what the Bible says about things and build conviction from there. You know, a couple more red flags. There, I think with leadership, there could be either an over-reliance on leadership or a rebellion towards leadership when it comes to conviction. You know, the over-reliance. Do you need leadership to try your best to please God? If you're in a ministry or in a situation where there's not strong leadership, does that keep you from being your best for God? It shouldn't. However, the Bible gives us leadership as a really helpful thing. It says here, you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And so on the flip, you also shouldn't be rebellious towards leadership and think, well, you know, I don't want to do something just because I'm being told to. It's like, but is the Bible saying to do this? All right, and so we don't want over-reliance or a rebellion towards leadership or towards church culture that comes from that. And so some things people might think is, oh, I don't care what they think, or I'm over that. And that's just making things too much about people. Is what they're saying based on the scripture? Then who cares who's saying it? You should be focused on the fact that the Bible says it. You know, last thing is I think sometimes scriptures can be taken out of context to justify questionable behavior. You know, lines can get blurry sometimes, right? And so, you know, there might be things like boundaries with the opposite sex, media, materialism. Maybe alcohol culture or involvement at parties, or your maybe just your private home life and what you do when you're by yourself, right? Things can get blurry. And here's the thing is there are gray areas in the Bible, and we need to be gracious and right and bear with one another and all of that. But the fact that the Bible teaches there are gray areas isn't to justify practicing things that are gray areas, but to help those who aren't give grace to people who are. And so you shouldn't use the argument that something's gray to justify doing it, right? We don't want to think, well, this is a gray area. We want to think, what's most pleasing to God? And let me aim for that, right? The Bible says everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. The emphasis there is not everything is beneficial, not everything is permissible. And so we should focus on the latter, right? The Bible says to not even have a hint, to be above reproach. And so we want to be thinking that way. What's going to most likely please God? Not, well, this might not bother God. And so, you know, I think about my relationship with my wife and how as a husband in a relationship with her, I want to I don't want to risk something hurting her, right? And so my standard with my wife before I make a decision is not, well, this might not bother her. Or if she doesn't find out about it, then it's probably okay, right? That's not how we think with our spouse or with our close friends, but that also shouldn't be how we think with God. This might not bother him. If our walk with God is so important to us, we should be thinking, what's most likely going to please him? Right? Because these things are not worth it if they might hurt God. We want to please God. And so I would encourage you to want to please God, to want to be your best for God. And so in your life right now, are you trying to not sin or are you trying to please God? Is there some area right now that your standard is, well, this might not be wrong, or that you need to start thinking more, what's best in this area? What's most pleasing to God? And so when we go to the Bible, we've got to be trying to find what's God's righteousness, not what can I feel okay with in my own idea of righteousness. You know, we need conviction from the Word on personal righteousness, right? We've got to have convictions based off of the Bible for what we view as righteous. And our stance should be, I want to do what is right to God. I want to do what the Bible says. I want to lean towards holiness, lean towards righteousness. And so we want to build conviction that pleases God and to do this more and more and more the longer that we're alive. And those will not be sand convictions, but those will be solid convictions that will help us to last a lifetime. You know, in closing, I want to share, I was at Rutgers across the street this past week, and I ordered a latte, and it was a big old latte, and the guy made it for me. It was a new one I hadn't ordered before, and I took a sip of it, and it was the grossest cup of coffee I'd ever had in my life. It was so bitter, and I just was like, oh, and I had Matt try a sip, and he couldn't handle it, Brielle, and it was just like, this is disgusting, and they were starting to close up, and I was like, just forget about it, you know, and I was like, I'll just throw it out, and so Matt, awesome brother, helpful to me, he stands up and goes to the guy who the gate's already closed. He's like, hey, man, my friend here ordered this coffee, and it's just disgusting. You know, is it too late to add some milk in this? And so when I'd opened the top, it was just pure espresso in there. And so it was just really thick. And the guy was like, I put a ton of milk in there. He's like, you know, maybe you just needed to stir it up. And I was like, that might be what I need to do. And so he handed me a straw, and I stirred it up, and lo and behold, there's all this milk that comes to the top. And I finished this thing off as a delicious latte. And I was, dude, this thing just needed to be stirred. It was all in there. I just had to stir it up. And I do want to say for a lot of you in here that have been Christians a long time, I think a lot of the scriptures, a lot of the convictions is sitting there. And you just got to get in the Bible, get with each other, and stir it back up again. And I think things are going to be amazing for God. Now I want to encourage you, build godly convictions. Godly convictions that please God by being based on his solid, unwavering word, and convictions based off of not what's right to us, but what's most righteous to God. Let's build godly convictions. Amen? Amen.